Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Q1 FY24 earnings conference call of PI Industries Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on a touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Nishid Solanki from CDR India. Thank you, and over to you, Mr. Solanki.
Thank you. Good evening, everyone, and thank you for joining us on PI Industries Q1 FY24 earnings conference call. Today, we are joined by senior members of the management team, including Mr. Mayank Singhal, Executive Vice Chairman and Managing Director, Mr. Rajnish Sarna, Joint Managing Director, Mr. Manikantan Viswanathan, Chief Financial Officer, Mr. Prashant Hegde, CEO, Domestic, Mr. Atul Gupta, CEO, Exports, and Mr. Anil Jain, MD, PI Health Sciences. We will begin the call with key perspectives from Mr. Singhal. Thereafter, we will have Mr. Manikantan sharing his views on the financial performance of the company. Thereafter, the forum will be open for question and answer session. Before we begin, I would like to underline that certain statements made on today's conference call may be forward-looking in nature, and the disclaimer to this effect has been included in the investor presentation shared with you earlier and also available on stock exchange website. I would now like to request Mr. Singhal to share his perspectives with you. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Yes, good afternoon, everyone. Good evening, everyone. It is my pleasure to have you with us on this call. I shall now share my perspectives on the industry landscape and the progress that we are making with our strategy. The global crop protection industry is witnessing a tough phase over the last couple of quarters, with intense destocking by the distribution channel due to increased availability of certain categories of product post the normalization of the COVID disruption, and scenarios of steep price reduction of these products leading to cautious procurements by the channel. On the other hand, the Chinese economy is experiencing slack domestic demand, and it seems to be exporting deflation through steeped-up exports of goods. This is already impacting the chemical sector across the value chain. Given that, we at PI, overall, year-on-year basis, during Q1, we have delivered a 24% revenue growth and a 35% increase in EBITDA, and our profit after tax recorded a 46% growth year-on-year. PI has, though, maintained course of healthy performance in its CSM exports with a 33% growth year-on-year. This performance comes back with continued strong growth in further endorsement of our approach to the business. Our domestic business performance for the quarter has been subdued due to the delayed onset of monsoons, but on the positive side, we have kept tight control on trading working capital, and overall, market scenario has focused more on qualitativeness of the revenue than the volumes. We are confident of getting back on a growth path with the normalization of rainfalls during the second half of the Kharif season. We continue to maintain the momentum of new product launches, five innovative products planned in this fiscal year. In the Q1, we have launched Eketsu. Eketsu is India's first three-way herbicide mixture to provide maximum weed control and efficacy for total control of rice herbicides. This will further fortify our portfolio of rice crops, already one of the best in the industry. The business has long pipeline of products, yet exciting launches ahead. Our business model is aligned to commercialization of advanced molecules for innovators. Thanks to our very visible track record, our engagement of scale-up as well, this goes beyond AgChem merely. It is our intent to create a dedicated platform, the pharma CRO-CDMO play. I would like to share that this process of integration of our pharma CSM acquisition is underway and tracking internal milestones. Our combined R&D capabilities with a brand new integrated pharma research center being developed in Hyderabad for the CRO and the CDMO, offering further bolster on to our business proposition. Our forte has been of a vast library of knowledge of complex chemistries with high scalability and competitive manufacturing footprints, and are able to tailor our solutions with specific circumstances to meet and be customer-centric. The continued traction is delivering and driving healthy accreditations to our order book position in a virtuous cycle between innovators and PI. During the quarter under the review, we have commercialized one new molecule and remain well on track for commercializing four to five new molecules every year as guided earlier. While the industry outlook for the economic demand is soft, with some forecasts projected single-digit contraction in the year 2022-23, relatively to the previous year. How at PI do we specifically focus on new chemistries and balance portfolio products? We give the visibility that we enjoy and remain cautiously optimistic to achieve the given target between 18%-20% revenue growth in the current fiscal, despite the headwinds explained above. We shall, however, keep a close watch on the market scenario and review our guidelines after the upcoming kharif season. This will be supported by ramped-up production of already commercialized molecules and the introduction of new molecules. For the long-term perspective, India remains the locus of growth in chemicals. It is believed that India has achieved the ag chem exporter worth $5.4 billion in 2023, up by 10%, making it the second-largest exporter of ag chems in the world. With policy supported by manufacturing ag chem, these exports are expected to double in the coming 3 to 4 years. India is already the fourth-largest producer of ag chems, now number two in the world from the previous year. The government is considering a PLI scheme for chemicals and petchems domestically, and that can further accelerate this trend. With policy activation as a catalyst, the industry has plugged the gaps in the value chain in order to offer innovators of chemistry as well as customers at the end added incentives to expand here. Therefore, the long-term perspective of this specialized chemical industry remain bright despite the current blips. PI remains dedicated to driving progress in a sustainable manner. ESG still remains the center point of every initiative on our growth execution. We deem it as our responsibility to align our process production products for thriving and a vibrant environment for our purpose of reimagining a healthier planet. This reflects and can be tracked through our outcomes we have scripted. I now close my perspectives and hand it over to our CFO, Mr. Manikantan, to take the discussions forward. Thank you once again to all of you. Over to you, Mani. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Sanjay. Good evening, everyone, and thank you for joining us the call today. I'll summarize the company's financial highlights for the fourth quarter ended 30th June 2023. Please note all these comparisons are on year-on-year basis and refer to the consolidated performance. During Q1 FY 2024, we reported a revenue of 19,104 million, a growth of 24% year-on-year, including newly acquired pharma business, and 21% revenue growth in ag chem. This was driven by growth in export revenue by 37% to rupees 15,630 million, offset by a 13% decline in domestic revenue to 3,474 million. Export revenue growth in ag chem was 33%, comprising volume growth of 29% and 4% from price, currency and favorable product mix. This quarter, total export revenue included pharma revenue of 443 million, comprising around 2 months period for Archimica from 27th April 23 onwards and 1 month period for Therachem for from 2nd June onwards. Domestic revenue was contracted by 13% year-on-year due to delayed monsoon leading to volume degrowth. Growing margin increased to 47, gross margin increased to 47% including pharma and 46% excluding pharma. Gross margin excluding pharma had jumped by 201 basis points. Pharma gross margin was 75%. EBITDA increased by 35% to rupees 4,726 million for the quarter on account of favorable product mix and operating leverage. EBITDA includes pharma EBITDA loss of rupees 54 million after one-time acquisition, integration and initial business setup expenses. Profit after tax increased by 46% to rupees 3,829 million attributable to EBITDA growth and lower effective tax rate despite higher depreciation. Cash flow from operation activity during Q1 FY24 was rupees 3,028 million. Trade working capital in terms of number of days of sales improved to 83 days as of 30th June 2023 versus 102 days as of 30th June 22. Inventory levels reduced in terms of days of sales to approximately 73 days to 14,049 million, excluding pharma inventory of 1,216 million, which was 89 days as of 30th June 2022. Our balance sheet further strengthened during the year. Net worth increased to 76,094 million as on 30th June 2023. Capex in Q1 was rupees 6,490 million, including pharma acquired assets of rupees 5,249 million through business combination. The capex excluding this addition is rupees 1,241 million. During the quarter, we completed pharma acquisition of Archimica and Terracom Group amounting to rupees 8,560 million. Post acquisition outlay, the surplus cash net of debt is rupees 28,066 million, including balance in KAP funds of 11,320 million. KAP funds remain invested into the deposit and debt mutual funds with SLR philosophy, while final deployment aligned with PI's long-term growth strategy is underway. This concludes my opening commentary. I will now request the moderator to open the forum for Q&A. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Thank you. The first question is from the line of Aditya Jawar from Investec. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity. Congrats on strong set of numbers. My first question is on our pharma asset. So how is the integration process progressing? And if you can give some, you know, qualitative information on the same. And how should we think about growth of this business? Do you foresee a significant increase in capacity utilization in these two assets versus around 50% what we saw last year?
So thanks for the question. I'm Anurjan here. So I think your first question is about the integration piece. So, you know, we are integrating the three pieces. One is the Archimica, which we acquired actually in Italy. Another is the TRN, which is US and India. And then our Hyderabad center, which is, in, you know, newly built up and is also in full swing for ready to serve. Now, currently, I think our progress on operating model, functional and IT integration of these units. And we are also working on the, you know, global advisor for the business transforms across these areas in R&D and in manufacturing supply chain. And right now we are on the track, and this activity would continue to for almost a quarter more during the, you know, this part. The second part is that, you know, on the pharma revenue. So I think our aim is to get the, that 550 crore which we have set, we are aiming in that direction. Gradually, on the quarter and quarter, this will build up. Right now, in this quarter, we are only talking of one company operating on 26 days, another is on 34 days. So that's the right now number, which is not very rational to, you know, what plan we have submitted. So gradually, this will improve, and I think we will be home what we have committed to this trip.
Okay. That's quite helpful. Now, in this, you know, quarter, there was this one-time acquisition and integration cost. If you can just call out what was the question and how should we see the margin trajectory of the pharma business in the remaining part of the year?
Yeah, so in this quarter, in terms of financial, there were a couple of, one-offs. One is obviously the acquisition and business setting up cost and all to the tune of more than, I think, 100 or 120 million rupees. The other is the impact of the Ind AS 115 because the acquired entity, particularly the Indian acquired entity, was not accounting as per the Ind AS, whereas in PI Health Science we follow the Ind AS. So, because of these impacts, those one-off impacts have come. Going forward, as we have indicated earlier also, that you know there are going to be initial phases where we will be investing in the development of the development of these businesses, acquired businesses, and also transformation of some of these businesses. So obviously the EBITDA margins that we are looking at is going to be on a lower side, but on maturity we would surely expect and target 20-22% plus kind of 20-24% plus kind of margin once we get to the maturity, which will take few quarters time or maybe more than a year's time. In the initial phase we are expecting anywhere between 14-15% kind of margins that we have indicated earlier.
Oh, that's quite helpful. My final question is, sir, what would be the total CAPEX guidance for FY24? It would be great if you can give a breakup between CSM and domestic, as well as the pharma piece. The core business and the acquired assets, sir, separately.
So we had, as you recall, we had indicated close to 850-900 crore kind of CAPEX for the Ag-Chem business, okay? For pharma, we have already also indicated close to $10-12 million is what that we will be investing. So that's the current guideline on the CAPEX. We you know, maintain that guideline.
Perfect. All the best. I'll spoil back in queue.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that the management is able to address questions from all participants in the conference, please limit your questions to one or two per participant. Should you have a follow-up question, we would request you to rejoin the queue. Our next question is from the line of Rohit Nagraj from Centrum Broking. Please go ahead, sir.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. So first question is, you have mentioned in the presentation that 13 top molecules identified for capacity enhancement. These are the molecules which have been launched in the recent years, or these are more matured molecules and we have seen a good amount of scale-up happening from the off-take perspective. Thank you.
Yeah, so these are all operating, objectives that are taken by our cross-functional teams on a regular basis. And these are not recently launched molecules. Over the years, we have commercialized many projects. And out of those projects, many of these projects, as the processes improve year on year, our teams have identified opportunities of throughput improvement and all. So that is pertaining to that, activity of continuous improvement.
Right. Got it, sir. Sir, second question is, in commentary as well as in presentation, we have said cautiously optimistic on the CSM segment. So in the last 1.5 months of the current quarter, have we seen any kind of slowdown in terms of volume offtake? And a concurrent question to that, the 18-20% guidance, does it now include the pharma piece as well, or is it excluding the pharma piece? Thank you.
So as far as the trend is concerned, the global scenario, etc. is concerned, so it's not only last 1 month, 1.5 months, but we have been seeing this for last few quarters, that there are certainly headwinds in general in the industry, okay? And that is more particularly towards certain category of products on the generic side. So far, we have not seen a dramatic change as far as the demand scenario for our products are concerned. But why we are saying cautiously optimistic, because ultimately, some such longer-term trends may have some impact on overall general industry and demand scenario as well, though we have not seen it so far. But as indicated, we would also like to review this overall plan and guideline maybe post-Kharif season. By that time, we'll have a better understanding and better visibility of that. But at this point, we do not see any dramatic change or new development.
Right, sir. And it includes pharma as well? Just to clarify.
Sorry?
The 18% to 20% guidance that
well,
we have...
Our idea is that pharma, whatever contribution it comes, will be on top of it. But as I said, we will review all this post-kharif season.
Sure. That's helpful, sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Sumant Kumar from Motilal Oswal. Please go ahead.
So, sir, can you talk about the domestic business 13% degrowth and how the things are panning out in the current season, in the coming quarter?
Yes, Prashant.
Yeah, so the first quarter, you already might have seen from the industry. In fact, we anticipated it from at least last 3 or 4 months. So that is why we were also cautious in terms of our procurement, especially on the generic products, knowing this volatility. However, from July onwards, it is the positive momentum has built up. We having especially commercialized 7 new products last year, those are doing good. And this year also we have a plan to launch 4 new products. In that one, we already commercialized in quarter one. So this has definitely helped us. And this will continue to basically help us in terms of showing positive results in coming quarters.
So basically just to add, in terms of market sentiments, market activities, there is certainly improvement compared to what we have seen in the first quarter. But yeah, I mean, still there are a couple of months to be monitored and seen that how overall kharif season is panned out. Yeah.
Sir, can you talk about pharma like-to-like growth YOY and also what is the quarterly run rate if we'll consider as a from the month of April for the both specifically?
Yeah, so first of all, it is not possible for us on Y2Y like-to-like because as Anil explained earlier, I mean, one business, we have the revenues of maybe 30 days or less than 30 days. The other business, we have revenues of maybe, I think, 50 days or something. So, I mean, we certainly do not have part data of these companies' businesses for the previous year. So that is the reason we do not have that like-to-like comparison. And why this business or, I mean, current quarter performance, I think Anil has already explained. Maybe you may want to add something?
Yes. So as I said, now it's only 1 month performance right now. And, you know, the CRO and CDMO businesses, generally, they are all the customer delivery driven. They are not driven by the months. So that's the, sometimes it comes up, but then they are confident, as you said, in the coming quarters, we would be able to meet our expectation of the number as well as the, you know, margins also.
So I am asking whatever the number we have published in the acquisition note for the FY22-23 or say CY23, will there be any growth on that?
Yeah, so those numbers, if you see, those numbers were for, first of all, calendar year, if I'm not wrong. I mean, one business is calendar year, the other business is also calendar year, part of it is financial year, so we'll have to see. But that on annual basis, what is that we will be finally seeing the number. But yes, in certain business, we are expecting growth. In some other business, it is kind of flat as per the current rate. But I mean, on like-to-like, on quarterly basis, it is the data is not there for us to give you the, you know, straight answer.
So the line for the participant has dropped. Maybe I request the management. We move to the next question, please.
Yes, please. Yes.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Vishnu Kumar from Avendus Spark. Please go ahead, sir.
Thanks, sir. And congrats for rockstar numbers reported this quarter. I wanted to understand on pharma, I mean, just on continuation, now that all the plants would be running fully, is it like 150 crore-170 crore at least would be a current run rate that we'll achieve from 2Q onwards? If I just do some approximation on the pro forma numbers.
That's what our guidance says, you know, what number we give. We are hopeful of, you know, going in this direction in the coming quarters.
Understood, sir. Also on the CSM side, we see that 29% volume and pricing continues to be positive, but with across raw material deflation, wanted to understand how long this pricing will continue. Generally, when we talk to the customers, when does this price negotiations happen? Like, because there's a deflation, should we continue to believe that this will help us on the margins, or at some point we'll see some pricing cut?
First of all, this deflation, raw material deflation is not all across the product. I mean, obviously that varies from product to product. That scenario also, the raw material price trend varies accordingly. Yes, wherever there is substantial improvement in raw material prices or reduction in raw material prices, obviously going by our business model, I mean, those prices are factored in the next supplies or, you know, next contracts or purchase orders and all. Yes, that always takes place.
Okay. This 25% margin would be a new normal to be considered or any guidance on the margins if you could help us understand?
We have, as you know, in past also we have explained that, you know, this 24%-25% margin obviously is coming from two, three factors. One is obviously the operating leverage, the other is the product and business mix and all. Yes, I mean, we are relatively confident that given the kind of visibility of plans, business plans, volumes, values that we have, we should be able to maintain, sustain these margins.
Got it. One final, if I may. So we've done almost 30% growth plus in the CSM, and you also mentioned that our growth is not impacted. But if I take 18%-20% guidance, it looks like even if you do 10%-12% or 12%-14% growth is enough to achieve the guidance. Is this like we are taking a conservative approach, or you have some indications that your delivery schedules in second half will be slightly lower? Just some sense here.
No, we are cautious. It is not conservative or optimistic, but yeah, I mean, we are cautiously optimistic that yes, and in any case, as indicated, we will review this overall situation maybe three, four months down.
Got it, sir. Thank you, and all the best.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Abhijit Akella from Kotak Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Good evening, and thank you so much for taking my question. Just two from my side. One is on the CapEx for the quarter. It seems to be about 120-odd crores, excluding the pharma acquisitions. We've guided to almost, I think, 850-900 crores for the full year. Should we expect a big acceleration in the remaining part of the year?
Yeah. This is as per the plan only. You know, the major part will be coming in subsequent quarters as the execution happens. Yeah, I mean, the overall year's plan remains what I indicated around 850-odd crores.
Okay. Thank you. The second thing is just that on the guidance, 18%-20% growth, you know, earlier I believe it included the domestic business also. In light of this quarter's challenging performance there, you know, do we sort of stick with that expectation, or should we assume that 18%-20% is only for the CSM piece for now?
Yeah, you are right, and that's the reason at this point, we are saying we are optimistic cautiously that, if things pan out well for the remaining period of Kharif, we should be able to get there. If not, then we will surely come back with our revised estimates.
Okay, sir. Understood. Thank you so much, and all the best.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Vivek Rajamani from Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you, sir, for the presentation and congratulations on a very strong result. So two questions from my side. Firstly, on agrochemicals, if it's possible to give some color on, you know, what is the kind of inventory situation that you're seeing for your specific products? We've obviously been hearing that there's a lot of inventory across the system, but if you can provide any kind of color with respect to what you've been hearing from customers, that would be really helpful. And the second question I had was on margins. Again, very, very strong margins that we've seen this quarter. Just wanted to get a sense if there was any specific factor that you would like to call out which was driving this sequential jump. And just going forward, should we be aware of any seasonality in the upcoming quarters? Thank you so much.
Well, in terms of inventory, in general, we do not see a significant, challenge or stocking in the kind of products that we are dealing. But yes, I mean, there are maybe few products where we may have some sort of indication. But in general, there are no such big stocking issues, okay, the kind of products that we are dealing in our exports. In terms of domestic, maybe Prashant, you may kind of highlight.
Yeah, so thank you. Yes, overall, we know the price has been volatile, so that is why we were cautious even in Q1 in terms of our placement as well. Now with the demand picking up, we don't see any major concerns so far, because the overall domestic side demand is now from July onwards, we are seeing that it is coming out stronger. However, again, it is last 1.5 months only. We are cautious. We have to wait and see how these things progress for remainder of the Kharif season.
And your second question in terms of margins, I already explained to the earlier participant that last year from 23%, currently we are whatever few hundred basis points that improvement is there, is mainly on account of the operating leverage and, product mix, the kind of revenue quality, particularly in the domestic business where the volumes were becoming challenged given the overall market scenario, monsoon situation. We have very clearly focused on the quality of revenue and margins, and that is obviously clearly reflected here.
Got it, sir. Thank you so much. Not the very best.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Ankur Periwal from Axis Capital. Please go ahead, sir.
Hi, sir. Thanks for the opportunity and congrats for good set of numbers. My first question on the R&D side, looking at the annual report, we have seen a sharp increase in the R&D manpower as well as spends. So your thoughts there, is it largely related to the ECM side or the new chemistry side, or it is also focusing on the pharma and probably one can expect a larger number of new product launches there?
So clearly, in March 21st, we didn't have the pharma engines on. This is clearly focusing the ag-chem side and the process research and development side, and also the biotransformation side that we put in there, yes.
Sure. So the incremental addition that we have seen now, will this also be including the allocation for the pharma R&D?
No. That is going to have come now, as I said, because the pharma piece has come up later, right?
Sure. Looking at the last 3 years number, there is a almost doubling of the manpower there. Anything you'd like to share on the other performance chemicals or the electronic chemicals that we have talked about earlier?
Yes, so clearly we have taken some of those areas for work. I think the good part is maybe after we can update about where we are on the commercialization of some of the fine chemical areas and what you're seeing there. Please go ahead.
Yeah, so there had been, good amount of traction around the electronic chemical segment, and there are a good amount of inquiry in pipeline and at the advanced development stage. We would be commercializing possibly another 4 or 5 molecules, in the electronic chemical space. And as Mr. Mayank said, that there are other adjacencies where we are trying to build the platform for the biotechnology, fermentation, and the other new technologies. And that's where, you know, these additional, the resources have been pumped up.
Sure. That's helpful. And secondly, we also talk about, rejigging our product portfolio, focusing more upon, the ESG angle or the environment part of it. Is this comment largely focused on the crop protection, the domestic business, or you are including CSM also here?
No, if you look at PI, it's a part of the PI strategy in every facet of our products, just not in one business area or two. I mean, we definitely look at this, whether it's Agchem brand, whether it's manufacturing CSM, automotive cell sciences, automotive electronics, we're going to keep that anchored as a key driver.
Sure. That's helpful. That's it from my side. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Rohan Gupta from Nuvama. Please go ahead, sir.
Yeah, hi, sir. Good evening and thanks for the opportunity. So congratulations on such a strong set of numbers. Despite the weak industry scenario. So the first question is on further clarification on that. While we are seeing that the entire industry is suffering from the inventory destocking, especially in a global market, we still have been managed to grow 29% in terms of volume growth. If you can explain a little bit more, is it some because of the nature of our product or the product basket which we have that continuously seeing the higher volume growth and there was no inventory buildup has happened in last 1 year at all, and that is driving the growth, or it is just only that customers keep on buying from you without any pushing or without any delays or spillover, that is still driving the growth for you and may impact our growth going forward if they are consuming the, or if they are sitting on the inventory on our behalf.
No, the earlier is the reason. It is all about quality of product portfolio, okay, which is driving this growth for us. These are, as you know, early stage molecules. They are growing in different markets. And so far, our customers have also. And these are not mature products per se compared to some of these generics which are getting beaten in the market, global market. So as a result, I mean, our customers are also not facing some significant challenges or concerns around, inventory pileups and other things. And that is the reason that the continued growth is there in these kind of products.
So, sir, if I extrapolate this thing, and if since we have not stuck with the higher inventory in the system, and there is no Chinese dumping probably in our case because we are early stage of products, so end customer demand, and especially for the new molecules for products like us, is still so solid that we have been able to deliver a 29% kind of volume growth. If the industry would not have stuck right now with the high inventory, which is the case for most of the products in the market, do you see that the farmer level demand is still so strong as what is in case of your products? Definitely your products are in early stage molecule, but still is farmer level demand is very strong?
Well, my personal view is that farmer level demand is strong even for generics, by the way, where there is a beating currently. The challenge is coming because of high inventory in the channel. So the inventory destocking is happening at the channel level. But that doesn't mean that the consumptions have gone down or acreages have gone down. That is not the case. So even in the generic products, it is more about the channel destocking than the significant reduction in consumption. You take any global scenario and also local scenario in terms of acreages, Prashant may can add, in terms of acreages, crop acreages, we have not seen any significant reduction in products, any significant reduction.
Yeah. So, yes.
The other impact, before you come up, the other impact is of price, that some of these generic products, the price impact has come, the products prices have gone down and therefore the values have come down, which is not a major issue in base of products that we are dealing. Yes, Kushal.
Yeah, overall in terms of acres, there was a delay in terms of growing. So end of June, we have seen somewhere around 16 to 20% reduction, especially in rice. But if I look at just few days back, overall it is more or less similar to last year. If I look at all the crops, yes, rice is up. That is a positive news. However, cotton is down by around 2%. Rice is up by around 3%, and pulses are down by 9%. But all other crops more or less similar to last year, and overall crop area is 0.2% down compared to last year. So this is nothing. So it's more or less the demand is definitely looks like coming up. But as I said, still we are early into Kharif and we have to wait and watch.
Sir, just on the extrapolation of the same thing, since you are saying that we are not stuck with high inventories in the market and demand from the farmer level remains strong. So when other companies are giving the commentary, they are not sure about how much inventory is there in the market and what is going to come up from China. But in our case, we should be fairly confident about it if the farmer level demand is strong. I still didn't get the reason that we are still making a statement like, you know, cautiously optimistic while we are seeing that the farmer level demand is coming and it is still strong. I understand that the domestic market may have volatility with the kharif crop volatility, but as far as the global markets are concerned, we should be fairly confident about our volume growth in the current scenario. Isn't it so?
No, well, that is a very optimistic way of looking at it. But if you look at it, if a product B is rather high in the inventory and the price point go below a certain point, it does have a temporary glitch, right? You can't say that it doesn't have any impact. So those are the things you're cautious about, you're watching. Yeah, the buffer is there, but that obviously becomes a little impactful. But you don't go out and say, okay, because of that, I'm going to start doing erosions, which are short-term in order to meet that, because that's going to help and not going to change scenarios. So I think this is, you know, there's a balance of all economies which you need to keep to look at. Demand, scenario, competitor, price, product availability, and how the balance between availability and value creation. I mean, that's
and secondly, just to add one more point, there is always a lead and lag even in getting the information on the ground. You see, this is not a very advanced industry per se. I mean, from the agriculture and rural fields, or even in the global arena, the inventory data coming from the rural markets, it's not done. I mean, there is always a lead and lag. So we have to be a little cautious and careful in all these, even reading these data points.
Fair enough, sir. I need one more clarification if I'm allowed, otherwise I can come back in queue. Sir, looking at the console and standalone number, your implied cost seems to be significantly higher on console. That talks about the subsidiary which I mean Pharma we acquired roughly 23 crore rupees is a difference. While I understand that the one-off item which you have mentioned will be in other expenses. So 23 crore probably for a 1 month where we have accounted. So seems fairly high. I just wanted to understand any particular adjustments there.
Can you repeat your question? I missed your earlier part of question.
Sir, employee cost on console is 173 crore. And standalone is 150. That means that for the subsidiaries, I mean, pharma assets which we have acquired roughly 23 crore. That's a fairly high number. And I believe that the one-off which you have mentioned will be adjusted
yes.
in other expenses.
Yes. So, I mean, there are both the aspects. I don't know how you have come to this comparison that number is high or that number is, low. So first of all, I mean, how you are relating this to is also not very clear to me. But yes, I mean, if you look at the acquired business, the overall revenues and et cetera are for a very, very small period. There are also setting up expenses that are happening. For example, we are still setting up our Hyderabad lab. We are still setting up, we are also acquiring many of these top leadership players in the pharma space to overall unleash the overall value out of these acquired assets. So yes, I mean, in the initial phases, as indicated earlier, we are certainly going to see some of these development spend, including the manpower spend.
And sir, in your consolidated reporting, when you have started giving segmented financials, we also have some part of business coming from pharma, but that is not clubbed in a pharma segmentation. Any particular reason for that?
That's it.
In the segmental thing, what is coming under pharma is already stated in pharma only. There is no
separate cost.
But sir, we had 5 to 10% of our revenue coming from pharma.
Yeah, so 443 is coming from pharma, no?
That's right.
44 crore rupees, right?
Yes.
But that is only from the subsidiaries which we have acquired, right?
Yes.
Our
subsidiary, PI Health Science, which is comprising of the entity that we have acquired in Europe, that entity we have acquired in India, and also,
PI standalone basis also had some pharma business. We understand 5 to 10% of the revenue used to come from pharma.
I don't know where you have got this number. 10% from pharma? Not at all.
Okay, sir. So that's thank you. Thanks a lot for the
question. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Vishal Birai from Bandhan AMC. Please go ahead.
Thank you. So the question is on...
Sorry to interrupt, Mr. Vishal. You are not audible, sir. Could you please use your handset?
I am using the handset. So,
sir, we can't really hear you, sir.
The question is on the future growth for the CSM business for the next 2 years. And to be guided for 18-20% this year, then what would be the growth for the next
year? You're not audible.
So your voice
gentlemen, you're not audible. If you can please change your mic. I'm not clear.
Mr. Vishal, may we request you to rejoin the queue? Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Naushad Chaudhary from Aditya Birla. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity. Firstly, follow up on the electronic chemical piece, which you indicated 4 or 5 molecules we are planning to commercial. So just wanted to understand in terms of the size of opportunity you see here in this piece of business and how big can it be for you in next 3 to 4 years?
Let me answer that to tell you that the electronic chemical business is just an entry point right now. This is not going to be a significant number in the PI, but in the next 5 years, we do believe in the specialty chemical area. We're not quite specialty, but fine chemical area. We would see some decent numbers. It's not just electronics or semiconductors or specialized polymers, which all go in the same application. So we could see a few percentage points in that there.
So in 5 years, can it be, in terms of capital deployment, can it be as big as we currently have the CSM Agri and the plan which we have in pharma? Can it consume?
Certainly not the same size as XM that we have, because you'll appreciate that where are we in XM today is the work of last 25 years, okay, and investments made over this period. So what is being said is that with our efforts in last 3-4 years, we have already now got to a stage where we are commercializing several of these products, non-XM products, including electronic chemicals, specialty polymers, etc. And this would surely become a reasonable percentage of our overall revenue. But this cannot be the same it would be speculative to think that it will become of similar size as our XM business today. No, it won't.
Understood. And secondly, on the pharma side, So 900 crore rupees we have deployed on the remaining 1,100 crore rupees. Any development on that side?
Come again. I mean, your question was not clear.
So the capital deployment piece on the pharma business side, we had around 2,000 crore rupees of plan. We have deployed around 1,000. So pending 1,000, any development?
Yeah, yeah. So let me clarify here. First of all, the QIP, the 2,000 crore that was raised was not only for pharma acquisition. Okay, that was for several of our strategic long-term initiative projects, including pharma, of course, for diversification into adjacencies in pharma. For pharma, we have already kind of allocated close to 900 crore, as you mentioned. For the remaining, we are also looking at several opportunities, including some of the bolt-on opportunities in pharma. We are also looking at other M&A opportunities in the space of, AgChem, domestically also, and also outside India. We are also looking at opportunities, inorganic opportunities in other technological areas like biochemicals, bio solutions, and then several other such opportunities, maybe including brands, distribution, etc., beyond the pharma. I hope this clarifies.
Understood, sir. Thank you so much and all the best.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, in the interest of time and fairness to all participants, may we request all participants to restrict one or two questions per participant. Should you have a follow-up question, we would request you to rejoin the queue. Thank you. Our next question is from the line of S. Ramesh from Nirmal Bang Equities. Please go ahead.
Oh, thank you very much and congratulations on the pharma acquisition. So if you were to look at the pharma capital employed, is it possible to share what is the working capital in that piece and any accumulated losses? And secondly, once you reach that normalized revenue of 515 crores, what is the kind of investment you'll require on both gross block and working capital? And how do you see the growth in the revenues over the next 2 to 3 years? And is there any clarity on the order size you can share with us now?
Yeah, so there are several questions in your question, but let me try and answer them one by one. We indicated earlier that yes, next 3-4 years, we would surely want to more than double this business, the kind of business that we have acquired. That is one. The investment details are already there in our presentation also and also earlier release. And going forward, as we are scouting for more business and particularly of better quality business, of course, we'll be making certain investments. We have already indicated close to $10-12 million investment in the current financial year. Likewise, depending on the business opportunities that we are able to scout, we will be deciding on further investment. But in nutshell, the overall idea is that we would surely want to, and we are internally committed to kind of build this a scalable, differentiated business over next 3-4 years time by making further investments.
Okay, and the second thing is on the domestic market, there's a mention about 9% of your revenue coming from biological products. So how do you see the domestic business performing under normalized demand based on the new launches, and what is the kind of aspiration for the share of biological products in your domestic portfolio?
Yeah, Prashant, maybe you can explain that.
Yeah, so biological products, as I said earlier as well, we have a plan to launch two products in this year. One which we are launching in this month and one in quarter three. Definitely, there is a good traction, even though there are many products, especially generic side, which we have seen some challenges. Biological products are growing in double digits, and they will continue to grow. So that is what which we are basically estimating at this point of time.
Okay. Thank you very much, and all the best.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Krishan Parwani from JM Financial. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi, sir. Thanks for taking my question. Just two small clarifications from my side. First is, has there been any purchase order deferment in the ongoing quarter?
Not really.
Okay. Thank you. And then the second is, since second half is usually strong for us, do you see that trend changing in any sort in this fiscal?
No, as explained earlier, I mean, so far we have not seen any dramatic, change in the scenario, demand product scenario, the kind of product that we are dealing in. But given the overall industry situation, we are also very cautiously monitoring the situation. And in next 3-4 months' time, we will have certainly much better understanding visibility, which
Understood.
We shall certainly consider while coming out with our guideline post the second quarter.
Understood, sir. Fair point. Thank you so much and all the best, sir. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Rohan Vora from Purnartha Investment Advisors Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity and congratulations on the strong.
Sorry, Mr. Rohan. May we request you to use your handset, please?
Yeah. Congratulations on the strong set of numbers. Am I audible now?
Yes.
Yeah. So, sir, my first question was on the operating cash flow side. So, have you seen that this brought in efficiency?
You are not audible now.
We are losing your audio, please.
You are over there.
But, sir, my first question is on working capital days. We have seen efficiencies in working capital days in this quarter. So can we treat this as a norm? Is there a scope of still better working capital days? Or, the days will go up from here on?
No, we certainly see some more opportunities of improving working capital in some of the business areas, which will obviously the turn up will happen. But yes, in short, yes, we see some more opportunities of further improvement.
Sure. And sir, my second question was on the horticulture business. So just to get idea about what would be the size of our market, in that particular segment, horticulture, the product that we deal in.
Which segment you said?
Horticulture.
Of course, huh?
Yeah, overall, in terms of AgChem revenue, if I see what is contributing from horticulture, is roughly around 30%.
Okay, 30%. And what would be the size of the pie, just the market as a whole, which we, for the product that we deal in?
Yeah, so it's the revenue which basically what the horticulture product which are contributing to our domestic revenue is around 30%.
Understood. Sir, I wanted an idea on the market if you can. Just a ballpark number would be fine.
Overall industry size.
So overall, if I look at what is contributing horticulture roughly in the industry is somewhere around 25 to 30%. If you look at what is the AgChem market in India, so around 25% is contributed by horticulture.
Thank you. Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, our last question for the question and answer session is from the line of Yash Mehta from Steinberg Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for the opportunity. My one question is that after the acquisition of the two entities and now that you are currently in the middle of the integration, how has your view evolved on how you think about this business from a longer term standpoint in terms of you've always maintained you wanted a differentiated model, but incrementally as we see more and more businesses, they are becoming similar to each other. While operating in the CDMO space. So, actually some...
Yes, if I may interrupt, You are absolutely not audible.
Not audible at all.
So if you can please
change
your mic and
your answer, please.
Repeat your question.
Yeah. So, certainly. I hope I'm audible now.
Better.
The question is that now that you've acquired and are currently in the middle of the integration, how has your thought evolved on the pharma piece? You've always maintained you wanted a differentiated model, but as we analyze the different businesses that are operating in this space, they seem to be getting more and more similar to each other. Would you be able to kind of share some light on this?
Yes, Anil,
I think if you see the entire value proposition right now, you have many CRO, CDMO players in the market, and you know they are offering the services which includes discovery, they include the manufacturing. But in the PI, we are also offering the end-to-end pipeline, right? Starting from the key starting material to the API. That's what the niche is going to the PI. We would be taking our legacy of, strong foothold in the, basic chemical manufacturing, which covers a lot of hazardous steps, and majority pharma reactions come across, fluorination, bromination, phosgenation, or you name any hazardous reaction, they are already present as part of the, our PI legacy. With this, we have become much more stronger than the market. We are offering the entire value proposition starting from RSM to KSM to, discovery, development, manufacturing and API. That's how the unique, proposition we have and differentiated from the market.
Thank you. That's very helpful.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that brings us to the end of our question and answer session. I would now like to hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Thank you, gentlemen and ladies, for joining this call and your continued interest in PI. Thank you so much. Have a good day.
Thank you. On behalf of PI Industries Limited, that concludes this conference call. Thank you for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines.